Kate McClellan, pro wedding planner with over 16 years of experience helping more than 400 couples down the aisle. I started Planning Collective to help all couples get through the overwhelm of wedding planning by sharing my actionable tips and tools that I've used over the years working with my clients. We'll focus on getting rid of what I like to call FOWO, the fear of wedding oversight. This is an unfortunate condition that almost every couple will suffer from at some point. Let's get you back to enjoying the planning process. Here we go. This episode is brought to you by the Wedding Planning Blueprint Course, the new way to plan your wedding. I've been a professional wedding planner for almost 20 years now, and though nothing can beat the excitement of a wedding day, my favorite moments are sharing the real wedding planning experiences and tips that no one else is talking about. I designed this course to help take you from feeling lost and overwhelmed to educated and in control of your wedding plans. The course includes 24 lessons that are structured to help you first create your wedding planning foundation and then build upon it in an intentional way so that you don't make one of the most common and expensive mistakes, planning your wedding backwards. The newest feature in the course, Wedding Chat GPT, allows you to ask your wedding planning questions and get professional answers 24/7. The answers are pulled from the course content, which makes the responses reliable and actionable. This will be a true game changer, saving you time and money while you plan your big day. To see a full list of what's included in the course, head to planningcollective.com/WPB course. Working with a wedding planner would literally cost you thousands, but now you can have the expert advice and tips for under $150. And while the course is a steal, I do recognize that that's still an investment. Make sure you grab our free download, Expensive Wedding Planning Mistakes, and I can promise that that alone will save you the cost of the course. You can find our free guides at planningcollective.com, and I look forward to helping you plan your wedding. Hey guys, Kate here. Welcome back to another episode of the Wedding Planning Collective podcast. Today's episode is focused on helping you enjoy your wedding day to the fullest by being prepared for those stressful moments you know are going to pop up. My 10 steps to a stress-free wedding. Number one, hire professionals. This is the one tip out of the 10 that is about the early stages in planning. If your vendors are all hired, focus on the rest of the tips given in this episode. However, if you're still building out your vendor team, selecting the right team can make the difference between dealing with chaos on your wedding day or a stress-free day. I'm sure we've all heard the phrase, you get what you pay for, and this is where that starts to come into play for your wedding. Those too good to be true deals will start to show themselves as you get closer to the big day, meaning you'll start to see how prepared and professional your vendor team is. I don't say this to scare you, but in hopes to help educate those on why vendor pricing can vary so greatly. I'm also not saying that you need to hire the most expensive vendors, but I do want you to be aware that by only paying attention to pricing for your vendors, you may be adding a lot of tasks to your to-do list the week of the wedding. For more specifics on this, make sure you check out episode 3 of this podcast, How to Know if a Deal is Too Good to Be True. The second part of this point is for those of you that are thinking about having family or friends serve a role on your wedding team. If you're considering DIYing something or having a friend or family member help you out, make sure to really think about what that will add to your plate in the days, weeks, or month before your wedding. Will making your own floral centerpieces mean that you, your family, and wedding party will be in full production mode that entire week before the wedding? And who will not just set up the flowers on the wedding day, but also tear everything down and clean up after the wedding? Same questions if you're thinking of renting some speakers and creating a Spotify playlist. Will everything have to be picked up or set up and torn down within a tight time frame? Who will be serving as the MC role and keeping an eye on the playlist to make sure everything is running smoothly? The point is, make sure you've thought through the extra details that will fall on your shoulders if you do not bring a professional in for that role. Number two, plan things out by walking through the day. We're going to take this one back to my ice skating days and a pre-competition practice that we used to always do. It might seem a bit woo-woo for some, but it could really help you get clear on some of the details for your wedding. We'd sit in a comfy space somewhere, close our eyes, and play the program music while we visualized the competition weekend. We'd picture everything from walking through the rink doors where the competition was, the crowd that would be watching, and how it would feel to step on the ice, and then through every step of the program. As the day gets closer, I encourage you to do the same thing. Visualize yourself going through the day or even the week of the wedding. And I want you to be realistic about it. This is very different than daydreaming about the perfect day. The point of this exercise is to think of the non-dreamy moments of the weekend that you want to be prepared for. Keep your notes app close by because this is when you're going to think about those little things, like who's going to pick up and deliver the ice that day? Where will the people that arrive before valet park? Or making sure you pack your brunch outfit with your wedding day items. The more you can think realistically about the day, the clearer those things will come to you. Number 3, keep in mind past stressors and triggers. This one is another reflection exercise, but this time I'd like you to think back on an exciting event of the past. Did you break out into hives before every dance recital? Maybe you've come close to panic attacks before big presentations at work. As the wedding day gets closer, the energy and excitement will be similar to those other big moments. So it's helpful to think back on what helped you feel better in those big moments, or maybe what could have made you feel better if those experiences didn't go as well as you had hoped. Just like the last exercise, the point of this is to anticipate what feelings might pop up so you can be ready to deal with them if it happens again, like making sure to have that Benadryl on hand in case those hives start to come back. Plan on some time for meditation or deep breathing, or even having your Xanax ready when the anxiety starts to creep in. Again, be realistic. I think many people get caught up in the idea that a wedding day is going to be perfect, but remember that you, your family, and your vendors are all still human even on your wedding day. And being prepared for those human moments is going to be what helps you make sure it doesn't derail everything. Number 4. Limit what needs to be set up that day, especially by you and your wedding party. During the planning stages, it's very tempting to save some money by opting to set things up yourselves. For example, many rental companies' base price will be for drop-and-go service, meaning they will deliver the tables, chairs, and other items stacked, but they won't actually set them up. There's typically an option for them to set everything up based on your layout, but it comes at an additional cost, around maybe $1 a table or 50 cents a chair. In the planning stages, this may seem like a quick way to save a couple $100, but make sure you think through the details of how that will work out. If your wedding is at home and everything will be dropped off a couple of days before, giving you plenty of time to set up, fantastic. But if you're at a venue and you have limited access for setup, this can make your day extremely stressful. One situation that we run into often at a local venue that operates as a farmer's market is that you don't have access to set up until noon. They don't supply tables and chairs, so they always need to be rented. We've had several couples there plan to have the groomsmen or family meet there to set everything up, but once we start getting into the reality of the timeline for the day, they realize that this is going to lead to a super tight prep time before the photos. Even if you're not involved in the setup, can you imagine fielding the calls about how many chairs should be at each table or stressing about making sure your people are on site setting everything up while you're trying to relax and get your hair and makeup done? Make sure to have the same consideration for anything that you are doing yourself, like the DIY florals we mentioned, maybe an arch for the ceremony backdrop, or any other time-consuming setup items. Really think through about how much stress the project will add on the wedding day versus the amount of money you would be saving by renting or purchasing from another vendor. Number 5, communicate wedding party and family expectations well in advance of the wedding week. It doesn't matter how organized you are in the planning process. The week and day of your wedding, you're going to have everyone coming to you asking a lot of questions about when they need to be where, what's the dress code, can they bring their significant other, and so on. I recommend that you put together a Google Doc with all of the important information that your wedding party and family will need to have. You can send that out to them the month before the wedding. That way, when they inevitably call, text, or email you with questions, you can easily share the link and remind them that the information is all in the doc. Here are a few things that I would recommend you include. Try not to make it too lengthy, or they will likely skim and not read the entire thing. Number 1, the timeline for the wedding weekend, including the times that they will need to arrive for the rehearsal, wedding day activities, and post-wedding brunch, if you're having one. Number 2, the addresses for each of the locations, including the getting ready spots. Number 3, any parking instructions for the weekend's events, especially if they'll be taking a shuttle with you at some point and may need to leave a car somewhere. Number 4, the dress code for each of the events and any specific instructions they may need, like shoe or jewelry color preferences. Number 5, hair and makeup instructions for those having that done, meaning should they arrive with freshly washed hair or do the stylist prefer it a little bit dirty? Do they need to bring cash for the hair and makeup appointments, or will they take Venmo or credit cards? And number 6, include everyone's contact information, or at least the cell numbers of those VIP members of the family or wedding party. If someone needs to get a hold of you guys, but you're busy or stepped away from your phone, it could be really helpful for them to just pull up the list and be able to reach out to someone else in the family or wedding party for answers. Tip number 6. Try to have a touch point with every guest, but don't overstress it. While the tradition of a receiving line is fading, most couples still want to make sure that they have an opportunity to say hello to every guest on the wedding day. For those that are not familiar, a receiving line is when the couple waits at the base of the aisle after the ceremony or at the doors to the reception and greets every guest as they go by. While it certainly does accomplish the goal of connecting with each of your guests, it can take a very long time. The current popular alternative is to do what's often called table rounds, which is after dinner, going around to each table to say hello to everyone. You'll be served dinner first, so you'll have time to do this while the rest of the guests are finishing up. While this is a great alternative, it can still take a long time, especially if you have a large wedding. The tip that I share with my couples is to look at your seating chart before the wedding day and have a plan in order for which tables you're going to visit first. Most couples will start with the tables closest to them first, which would likely be your parents and immediate family. But keep in mind the goal of table rounds and focus on the tables with the guests that will likely leave early or you may not see at other points of the weekend. That way, if you only have time to get to half the tables, you'll have at least had a chance to visit with the guests you're probably not going to be hanging out with at any other point. It's okay if you don't make it to your close family or friends' tables because you'll have already had the chance to thank them for coming at some other point on the wedding day or weekend. Number 7, plan out the family photos ahead of time. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but taking the family photos can be the most stressful time of the wedding day. You're likely going to be exhausted with photos at this point and just getting anxious to get to the party. When you add in the distracted family and wedding party, tight timeframes, and everyone coming to you with questions, it can get really frustrating. But if you plan it out ahead of time, it can run much smoother. So how do you do that? First, check with your photographer to see if they have something for you to fill out to help put the family photo groupings together. Most will have some kind of process or worksheet to help you organize them, as they want to make sure to make the most of this time as well. If your photographer does not have a form for you to fill out, or you want to get started before you'll have access to that, you can get a copy of my version of the worksheet under our pre-wedding worksheets download listed in our free planning guides at planningcollective.com. Once you have your family photo list compiled, make sure to share it with your photographer, planner, and the family members that will be needed for these photos. They'll need to know where to be at what time, and giving them a heads up will save you from chasing them down on the wedding day. You can also assign someone on each side of the family, aunts or cousins are usually perfect for this, to be in charge of the list on the wedding day, and they can help you gather the right people needed for the pics. Try not to assign this task to someone in your wedding party or immediate family, as they will likely be in many of the photos, making it hard for them to also track the list. Number 8, schedule some quick moments for just the two of you. I'm sure you've heard it many times, but the day is going to absolutely fly by. It's going to feel like a blur. It might sound silly, but make sure that you schedule in a few quick moments throughout the day for you and your new spouse to simply take a moment to soak it all in. Even if you don't actually do anything during these times, just the act of putting it in your schedule will make you more likely to appreciate those moments naturally when they pop up. Here are some times that I think are great opportunities to stop and take a breath. First, with your family or wedding party right after you've gotten dressed, but before you head out for photos or the ceremony. Second, just after the ceremony, before you get into those family photos. Number 3, just before your reception space opens for your guests, take a moment with just the two of you and the photographer if you'd like to see your reception room for the first time. And finally, at some point after the dance floor has opened, preferably with a piece of cake or a glass of champagne, ideally both. Tip number 9, eat. This is another one that might sound like a no-brainer, but with so much focus on the reception meal for your wedding, it's easy to forget that you and your wedding party will need to eat prior to that on the big day. For those having hair and makeup done, getting trays of pastries, cheese and fruit, or other simple finger foods are ideal. I'm loving the trend of charcuterie tables for this, but it might not be the best option if you're limited on space. The goal would be to have items that are easy to pick at throughout the morning so people can eat between their hair and makeup appointments. For those not having hair and makeup done, you'll have it much easier that morning, but I still recommend having a plan in advance for what you're going to do for breakfast and or lunch. In addition to the food you'll need while you're getting ready, make sure to pack a bag with some light snacks and water to have with you for the rest of the day. If you'll be on a party bus with the wedding party for photos, put someone in charge of packing up a cooler with drinks and snacks. The groomsmen are often more than happy to be put in charge of this task. And finally, on the day of, if you're not in the mood to sit and eat during dinner, or you can't seem to get a second to sit down, ask your caterer if they can box up your dinner, desserts, or your late night snack for you. You'll likely be starving by the end of the night, and you'll be so happy to have something to snack on. And number 10 is a simple but powerful tip. Don't obsess over the small details. It doesn't matter how much time and money you put into your wedding, something will go off plan. There are so many people and details involved in a wedding. You can't possibly keep flat tires, rain, or other hiccups that come with life from happening that day. Most of the time, it's something super minor and a reason why you hire professionals to swiftly take care of it and get things back on track. But even if something bigger does come up or goes wrong, keep focused on the reason for the day and don't let it impact your ability to enjoy everything. At a certain point, you'll need to decide to just let go of the things you can no longer change or control and celebrate with your family and friends. Those are my 10 tips to help you enjoy a stress-free wedding day. If you're looking for more wedding planning resources, you can find our free wedding guides at planningcollective.com. And if you found this podcast helpful, please take a second and rate and review on the platform you listen on. It would mean the world for me, and it will help other couples find the wedding planning tips they need. Thank you so much, and I will see you in the next episode.